For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
Your data is like gold to hackers, and they'll sell it to the highest bidder. Are you protected? McAfee helps shield you, blocking suspicious texts, malicious emails, and fraudulent websites. McAfee Secure VPN lets you browse safely, and its AI-powered tech scam detector spots threats instantly. You'll also get up to $2 million of award-winning antivirus and identity theft protection, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
If you got the guy that you were obsessed with, would you be happy? And most of the time, the answer is no. And that's one of the great ironies of thinking that a crush or a new relationship bears any equivalent to what happens in the future. There's a study from Northwestern a couple of years ago that shows the things that we're initially attracted to have like a 0% bearing on whether you have a happy marriage.
Thanks to Sana Skin Studio for supporting the No podcast. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for our promo code so you can receive $25 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio. Welcome to the No Podcast with me, Nikki Spo. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the No, where it is not about knowing everything, but about coming to know ourselves. I am your hostess, Nikki Spolstra, and I am so happy that you're here because today I am hosting a repeat offender. Just kidding, a man we know and love who has helped so many individuals as a dating coach, Evan Mark Katz. Before we get started, here is your call to action. Make sure that you are subscribed to the No so that you never miss an update, and make sure that I get that download, which puts our important conversations in front of more people. Next, you may have heard me speak about the new exclusive online women's community that I have started called Becoming Her. So who is this community for? Becoming Her is specifically for the woman who feels like she is on the verge of becoming the very, very best version of herself, that big her energy, and would benefit from being around other badass women who are helping each other get there, whatever that looks like for each individual. We are all on this mission, and when you sit at a table with like-minded women, the conversations just hit different. That's why you need to be a part of this. It is not a magic wand solution. It's an entire collective energy shift. And I know how to help you get there because I've done it for myself, and I have helped hundreds of other women find it within themselves too. The ultimate goal is that when you think of the phrase, oh, she's her, right? That you fully, truly, wholly understand that you are her. You are her. You are the woman you've always wanted to become. You have self-actualized the energy, you embody it, and you know exactly who you are and what your integrity means to you.
We meet once a week and talk about all of the things. And we have experts in the wellness industry jump in for exclusive webinars, plus so many more perks that you can learn about on the site. I'll drop the link in the show notes so that you can sign up. Right, so let's get going with Evan Mark Katz, who became the world's first dating coach back in 2003, specializing in helping smart, successful women create lasting love. He is the author of 4 books. His Love You podcast has over 2 million downloads, and he has been featured in hundreds of media outlets, including Today, The New York Times, and The Wall Street Journal. Last episode, we talked about the dating game. You should definitely check that one out. But today we are talking about relationships. Let's get started. I'm going to retell you this story about how the last time I hosted you, you told me to cut everybody off my roster who couldn't get to my house in 30 minutes, right? You said that, right?
And the punchline is you didn't listen to me and you're happy. And so there you go.
That's the punchline, ultimately. But I did listen to you at first. Like there were some people out of towners, like just like filling the time, right? You know, I had been dating somebody since last year, going on dates. And nothing ever like developed. This guy lived about an hour and 20 minutes away from me. So like they never really got like the ball rolling on like consistent dates, right? So nothing ever really progressed. And then I hosted you and you're like, cut everybody off the roster who can't get to your house in 30 minutes. I was like, all right, this dude is low hanging fruit. There wasn't enough there for me to keep him around anyway. Cut him off the roster. And then I wound up cutting everybody off the roster. I was like, she needs a break. I'm done dating for a little bit. She needs a break to think about things, right? Then I started hanging out with this gentleman again. And the more as we reconnected, the more we talked about like our values in life, our shared views on things, the more we started to be like, oh, wait, there's something really, really beautiful here. We have a lot of the same interests, right? And now, even though he lives not so close to me, it's easy to see each other. And one of the main reasons is that like, I think when you're a divorced parent, that's a big thing, like bringing somebody around your kids. And at least in this stage of my life, Evan, I'm like, I'm not looking for a stepdad for my kids. I'm really not interested in having another man to have to co-parent with. No thanks. I already co-parent. I already have one person I consult with about my children. But for now, I'm like, how nice is it to just have a beautiful adult romance without the burden of having to child rear together? And that when I am in mom mode, I am in mom mode. And then when I am in my personal life mode, I can like deep dive into that and feel really, really grounded and present in that and like have this beautiful romance without having to co-parent.
I think that's a new business model that people haven't necessarily done historically. And most importantly, if it's working for both of you, that's all that matters. The only question as a guy who's in my seat is, what happens when, I mean, you said you're dealing with a baby, so he'll be sort of perma-boyfriend. If things work out, he'll just be perma-boyfriend. As long as that's what you want, sometimes people get into something, it feels really good, and they don't think 1, 2, 3 steps ahead. As long as you're cool with being in the here and now, and that's enough, that's great.
Like, I've made it clear that, like, my goal in life at some point is to get married. Do you want that for your life? Do you want a life partnership? Right. That to me is a big deal breaker. I'm like, I don't necessarily want to blend families now. And even if we decided to like, let's say ultimately, he's like, yes, I want a life partner. Marriage is on the table, right? I'm like, okay, good. Now we're talking. We have similar goals. Now we can like proceed to get to know each other and see if this works. I also think that like people think that relationships have to be a certain way. So what if while my kids are small and his kids are small and we like the way that things are right now, we say, you know what? We are life partners and we are good together. And maybe down the road, I don't know that there's ever like a rush to introduce the kids, right? If it's not affecting them, like if it doesn't take away my time from my children and being the best possible mother that I can be, it's not taking away from them. They have all of their lives to meet somebody who can come into my life as a potential partner. I don't get these years back with them as they're little.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think it's hard to create your own paradigm, especially if we don't see too many other working models of it. I was talking to someone yesterday whose entire life experience was witnessing her parents' arranged marriage, first generation Indian, right? and then getting married, cheated on 3 times and divorced. Mm. Those are her 2 pictures of marriage. So right. She doesn't have sort of a healthy paradigm to work off of. And sometimes that's all we're doing is reverse engineering. What does work? There are best, not that everybody has to agree on everything,
right.
But there are reasons that marriage historically has been a thing. The problem is our needs have changed within the marriage. Once upon a time, marriage was, we're going to have 9 kids and they're going to work the land and 3 of them are going to die.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And, but we're going to have, you know, we're going to have enough people. We're going to have enough food on the table. And that's what it was. And then it turned into about love. And then we realized if you were the quarterback marrying the cheerleader, for lack of a better term, in your little town of 150 people in rural Indiana, didn't really give you much choice. And a lot of people felt trapped in those relationships, 21 years old, starting to build families. And now we've gone far to the other end of the spectrum where everybody wants everything from their partner to almost an impossible degree.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to find that middle ground between our parents' generation feeling trapped.
Yeah.
And the freedom of, I don't need a man, I need a polycule. And there's probably some working model that we're all kind of tinkering with right now.
I think that like the most fascinating thing in my like experimenting and dating world has been to be radically honest and see where it lands, you know, like, and expect radical honesty from people. Because how are you going to know? Like, I think that a lot of us go about like misleading people, like, oh no, I don't want to get married. I say, like saying this early on so as not to scare this person away. I'm like, no, I'm going to tell you. And if it scares you away, like good, better for me. Like,
I know I have no say in this. I'd like to do some of this on the air.
Yeah, this is all we're recording.
Oh, we are?
We're recording.
I had no idea we were recording. That's how natural it is.
No,
I think there's always the both and there is the difference between being radically honest, which is to say dumping all your shit on someone else's plate on date one to try to see if they're compatible or scare them away.
Right.
And withholding the real truth about you, not speaking your mind, not being authentic. I think my clients, as a dating coach, tend to do both. And I'm always trying to nudge them back here.
Yeah.
Someone is, her big shame is she's been divorced 3 times. She'll tell the guy up front. If she's just completed rehab, she'll tell him up front. And that might be a little bit too soon, right? Well, I'm just being honest. No, you're actually trying to scare someone away and see if they jump the bar.
Right.
So I think there's sort of like a drip system.
Yeah.
Right. Where, you know, I've got anxiety issues, have since college. I probably didn't put that in my dating profile. I didn't leave within my first date, but I can guarantee you before my girlfriend, who became my wife, before she became my girlfriend within a month, she probably knew about that piece of my life.
Yeah.
So I think that there's timing, and I think too many people, which again is not to say that honesty is bad, too many people come with the, okay, here's the list of stuff I know I'm looking for. Are we compatible? And it's like they're negotiating with stranger. And we've taken a little bit of the dance and the flirting out of it because we're so intent on not wasting time.
Yeah.
And I like the dance a little bit. I like the discovery a little bit.
I appreciate you saying that because I think that like the dance and the discovery is a lot of the fun part of it too. Right. And I don't think that like, I don't believe necessarily in oversharing, but like what I like about, anyway, my recent experience is like taking time to let things kind of unfold. I think that people are really eager to like label things right away and like have the answer right away. And we forget that it can be fun to just like, there's 2 things. I see myself as optimistic. I believe that there are lots of good men. So like then I wind up seeing and meeting good men, yes. Right? Because I'm like, I believe that they're there. I don't like go into life thinking every man is a piece of shit. Like I don't think that. I think good men exist. Right. And so either whether it's me attracting those men into my life or me just seeing the good men and being able to select them, I'm not sure, but I like the idea. Like how many surprises do we get as adults? Like I believe that I can be pleasantly surprised. You know, like it's almost like there's a quote, I forget who says it, but it's like, I believe in a paranoia in reverse. I believe people are plotting to make me happy. Like I am willing to take a risk to be pleasantly surprised, knowing because you know what, Evan, like my peace comes from within me. And so the men that I'm dating, like either they just add to it, right? They're an addition to it. They don't determine it.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, especially women, I mean, I only know because I am a woman, right? Go into dating thinking that something, somebody else can like, or the relationship is going to be what makes them worthy. Or once I have this, then my life will be good. Or like once I get married, you know, because now I'm 37 and I'm not married and I haven't had kids yet or whatever the story is that they tell themselves, like once I get that, I'll be good. No, you got to be good. You got to be good here.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I'm really sensitive to women who are in a negative place right now. Again, you know, I appreciate your optimism. I think it's a better, and even social science has proven that optimism produces better results. But, you know, dating for most people is such a shit show. There's so much bad energy out there. Both online and off, we just the very facile talk of rosters. Everybody has options. Everybody's looking for the next best thing. I don't blame anybody if I were single and in the same exact position. It's just really hard for anybody to break through, feel special, make decisions when there's constant bombardment of what other people are doing, and there's a lack of contentedness. And so we've created these systems, online dating apps being the most obvious one, where we've basically dehumanized everybody to be products.
Yeah.
It's a completely looks-based system that favors the good-looking, which is great for the good-looking, for the top 5, 10%.
Yep.
And everybody else is scrambling and wondering why they get rejected, or maybe they'll get a couple of contacts and then get ghosted by text. And that's the majority of people don't have the blessing of being able to meet people in real life. And it's so hard for them to feel abundant. Do you have anything for them, for people who are seeing the world through a negative light because of their experiences, which might be different than yours, not to negate your attitude or your experiences?
Sure. I have friends of all walks of life, and I am not a dating expert like you are, right? From what I've heard on my end is like, I think that everybody has a checklist, and I think it's important to like know the types of things that are important to you, right? Some like things that have to do with like values or outlook on life or seeing where you can land on shared dreams and goals, right? But I think like the checklist is for the birds. Like I think that online dating has made us create checklists, and it is what's on paper. And real life isn't just what's on paper. It's about how people make you feel and about like the life goals that you can build with each other. Like, so how, to your point, it's like we're being reduced to these checklists and a photograph. Like that's not real life. Sorry, it's not. And so when I hear girlfriends of mine who are like, well, he's got to do this and he has to have this job and he has to be this tall and he has to be this race and he has to have no kids and never been married, I'm like, oh my gosh, you've narrowed your dating pool down to 0.2%. Like, where are you going to find that person? Like, and not considering their checklist for you, right? So how are we ever going to be compatible with people? I remember like when I was newly divorced, it's not like I went out with everybody, but I was like, okay. I was like, let me meet people, because you know what? I had been married for so long and with a partner for so long that I didn't even know what I liked anymore. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know what's out there. Like, how do I even know? So like, I was like, okay, you want to take me on a date? Okay. Okay. Like, I'm not going home and sleeping with everybody. I'm like going and seeing like, oh, I don't really like that too much. Yeah. That's not really my cup of tea. That's okay. All right, cool. Maybe I keep talking to this person a little bit, get to know them a little bit better and see what I like and learn what I like and be willing to say, okay, that's not for me. Oh, you know what? I wasn't that person's cup of tea. Okay. It's not personal. It's not personal. Like, I don't think anything is personal. I mean, and it's hard, right? Because it feels personal. When someone doesn't like you, it feels personal. But
I want to give you credit. I'm kind of smirking over here. You sound like a dating coach.
Do I really?
You're saying things that I've been saying for years.
Oh, I love that.
Which is
because you talked to me initially. I took what you said on our first podcast recording and I ran with it in my life.
Not taking any credit. I've been doing this for 20 years. There's thousands of people who do what I do now. It's a burgeoning industry. And I think the truth is a lot of these ideas have gotten into the zeitgeist because of social media, where people have a greater understanding of what's going on. That doesn't change their past, and it doesn't change their ability to struggle with dating, online dating, compatibility, communication, and raising their standards for how they're treated by men. And I think that's sort of the most sad and astonishing thing after all of my years doing this is how many amazing women settle for less than stellar treatment from their partner as long as their partner is cute or tall or rich or smart or funny.
I remember dating a wealthy individual, and there were certain things that were like rubbing me the wrong way. The attitude, the sense of entitlement, like an outlook towards women that I didn't really think was healthy or didn't align with how I view women, you know, and like whatever. And I remember one of my girlfriends being like, oh, well, those are the types of things you have to deal with rich guys. And I was like, not for me. I am not willing to deal with that, no matter how much money a guy has. Like, so it's a no for me, dog. Like, it's a no for me.
Right. But she makes a fair, if unintentional, point.
Totally. And
forgive me if I've said this before to your listeners, but it was on my mind because somehow it came up in a conversation yesterday. Good qualities come with bad qualities.
That's true.
It would be hard to find a self-made millionaire who doesn't work really hard or have to travel a lot. It would be hard to find a really gorgeous guy who doesn't know he's gorgeous and doesn't keep his options open and is used to women throwing themselves at him. It would be hard to find a brilliant guy who doesn't think he's the smartest guy in the room and is therefore arrogant and condescending and dismissive of your opinions and maybe socially awkward. Right? These things go together.
Yeah, right.
Right. And so we talk about money again. It's always there. I don't remember everything I shared with you, but I have a friend who is in the 1% of 1% category, sort of Real Housewives territory. And I remember he said to me, Evan, you're the only guy I could go to Vegas with because you're the only guy who wouldn't immediately get there and say, where are the escorts? And I'm in the next tier down. But once you reach this tier, the 1% of 1% tier, it's the, we're the guys who don't think rules actually apply to us, right? And that's our in joke. Rules don't apply to us. And it would take an extraordinary person to be that moral person, which is why we see this in our politicians and preachers and athletes. And right, we're not even saying anything negative about them, except I think it's probably so hard to be the center of the universe and be strong enough to have the capacity to build your life around being a good husband, being a good father, being home at five. You know, like I just think it's not built into the model. So if we get over the, I need to date the richest guy because I've done it before and I'm never going back from private jets. If you realize, hey, I've got some money myself, that opens up the world to say I can date all sorts of men based on how they treat me, how I feel. It's a bonus if he has money. Money's good. No one's anti-money.
Right.
How much experience do you need? And how much could you tell if this was not a public podcast about the shit that you've seen?
Yep. I mean, it happens everywhere. Like, you see it all the time. I mean, especially living here in Miami, right? Like, the city is crawling with all of the things. And it's amazing. You know, it's interesting that you said that because I literally, right before our recording, I had a conversation with a woman named Lauren LaRusso. She deals with individuals who are in any position in an affair, whether they're the other person, whether they're the affair seeker, whether they're the spouse who doesn't know. She deals with all of these people. She's a psychologist. And she said there's three umbrellas of why affairs happen. One is entitlement. They feel entitled to them, right? And so when you're talking about like the top whatever percent, and it can be anything, like it can be of anything. Like I think that she said, you know, number one is one reason of an affair happens is the sense of entitlement. Second reason is that a marriage is not worth protecting. They've reached a point in their marriage where they feel that it is not worth protecting anymore. And the third one is a complete lack of boundaries, right? And so I thought it was fascinating to have that conversation just moments before having this conversation with you, because it really is kind of, you know, influencing how I perceive or think about, in this context of a conversation anyway, dating and people. And I think that ultimately, like when we're out here in the dating world, like it has to feel mostly good. I like have moved away, Evan, from this idea that everything has to be, all of the things are good. Like I want things to be mostly good. Like I don't expect to be happy all of the time. I would like to be happy most of the time, right? And so with relationships, and Elizabeth Gilbert, wrote the book Big Magic. And she's like, anywhere you go, you're going to have to eat a shit sandwich. Like in any job, there's going to be bad parts of it, right? Like you said, the good things come with the bad things too. So like, what kind of shit sandwich are you willing to eat? Like, it sounds gross, but really.
Hopefully it's as small as possible. I think for some people, the big upside comes with a big downside that's not as easily calculated when you're with that 1% high value man. A lot of people don't think of the downside. They just think of the upside.
Yeah.
And the downside comes when they realize their life is really, really lonely, right? Because he's busy. He is traveling. He has a thing with his secretary. He doesn't want to listen to what's going on of your day. He's critical of you. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with my money? I'm making shit up because I've never lived this, but I can only imagine people are not calculating that when they're just seeing the life. And courtship, the dating part, is just about showcasing that part of the life. It's not about the other side of it, which is why when people kind of get swept up, and I had a client who got married in 6 months that we were working together. She got engaged in 6 months, married within a year. I always tell my clients to slow down and wait at least 2 years. Yeah. So she was going really, really fast. And she came back to me and said, hey, do you do couples counseling? Right. Because she didn't really know who she was marrying. She got so caught up in the journey. And I think people, especially people who are getting married a second time, that's exactly what they do. They think, I'm older, I'm wiser, I know what I want. Yeah. And they accelerate things. And did you know, Nikki, that second marriages fail at a 2/3 rate and third marriages fail at a 3/4 rate? So that's not indicting of the institution of marriage. That's just people. That's just our blind spots of thinking, oh, I'm 63 years old. I don't have as much time left. I got to lock this in. Well, you might lock it in with a total stranger. My mom did that after my dad died. My mom locked it in with a guy she was dating for 8 months. And discovered afterwards he had no money whatsoever. None. That was a 2-year marriage, right? Where she was the nurse with the purse. She didn't anticipate that.
Yeah.
That's what happens when people think because I'm older, I'm a little bit wiser. And people tend to overcorrect. I don't know if we ever talked about the overcorrection. If your marriage lacked passion, you seek passion. If you're a guy who had no money, you seek money, right? And sometimes we go so far to the other end of the spectrum that we go out of balance.
I've come to a place personally where I'm like, I've started to question myself. I'm like, if I am meant to spend my life with this man, then I have all the time in the world. Like, that's why when I talk about like introducing people to my kids, I'm like, I'm not in a rush to blend my family with any man because my kids deserve their childhood, right? Like my kids deserve the best childhood that I can give them and the most, you know, predictable within the most part, because children thrive in consistency and prediction. They do. There's studies that show it. So why am I going to rush into a scenario where I'm introducing a man to my children, especially when they're so little? For what? If I'm supposed to be with this man forever, then there will be plenty of time for everybody to meet each other down the road when it makes sense for everyone, right? So when I think about building a life with a man, is it something that I want to do personally? Yeah, I do. I would like to get married again someday. I would like to be in a committed life partnership, right? I like exclusive relationships. I like monogamous relationships. If I am going to be with a man for a long period of time, then I do not need to rush into anything.
Amen.
And like, you know what? Because that, what also goes hand in hand with that, Evan, in my belief, is that I have enough peace within myself to sustain that sense of unknowing or like, when is it going to happen? Because it's human nature. I think it's human nature in dating. Like, well, what's the next step, right? Like you're in a job. You're like, what am I going to do next with my career? Like, what are my kids going to do? You know, what's their next reading goal that I have to get to? It is human nature to want to progress. We do this. So of course, why wouldn't you do it? Oh, things are going really well with this guy. What's the next step? What's the next step? Like, can we slow down a little bit? You know, obviously it's different if you don't have kids and you're a female and you're like, I want to have kids, right? Or you're a dad and you want to have kids before being a certain age or whatever, like having children and building families. I'm talking about like, I have a family. I got plenty of kids, you know? So in my mind, my situation is different. On that note, like the uncertainty in relationships, right? Because I'm here talking about like, okay, I don't have to like lock things in with one person right now. You're telling your clients, slow down, just take it easy. Like, how do you deal with the uncertainty in relationships, and how much of that is like dealing with what you can't predict or like being wishy-washy in the relationship itself. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's a lot. And it's difficult. I have a few sayings in my Love You course. And one of them is that no man is real until he's your boyfriend. He's just hope, fantasy, projection, and potential.
Oh, say it again.
No man is real until he's your boyfriend. He's just hope, fantasy, projection, and potential. All these things you're putting onto him that he could be, but he's not yet. So we don't get too excited about a cute profile, some flirty texts, a good date, an amazing kiss. We want to see how he acts after the date. How does he follow up? Is this thing escalating towards a relationship? Is he claiming you, or does he want to claim you as his girlfriend sometime in the first 4 to 6 weeks? Is that that's sort of a normal escalation? Not that there aren't exceptions to the rule, but that's what we want to see. To get excited about a guy who texts you once a week, and then, you know, sleeps with you and then calls you 2 weeks later, and you do that for like months, that guy is not worth anybody's energy. But a lot of people find themselves in that position because that's they're hoping that turns into something. It's all wishful thinking. So on one hand, no man is real until he is your boyfriend. And then the other hand, to your point, was you don't try to read the last page of the book before you read the book. And that's what most people do. They sort of project towards the future. They get excited. Dating's a grind. So they find someone they like. They block everybody out. And they're immediately thinking of, are we compatible? Are we going to get married? What are we going to name the kids? Where are we going to live? How are we going to divide the finances? Right. And this is in their head or in reality in the first few weeks of dating. And the truth is that book hasn't been written yet. You don't know if you're going to like him in the future. He doesn't know if he's going to like you in the future. There's a lot of story to be written together. So while there's the temptation to try to get ahead of the story, it's literally impossible because no one knows what's going to happen. There's no way you would have convinced me the night that I met my wife that she was the one I was going to spend my life with.
That's wild.
Right. And I just did a podcast yesterday with someone who has very opposite views from me. And you don't want to argue with someone on their podcast. It's their show.
And sometimes it's good to do that. Sometimes it's good to offer.
I have some of that male thing, which can get kind of combative. And I don't want to be that way on people's podcasts. Your show, you can believe what you want. But have you considered this? So her belief was, if a guy doesn't know that he wants to marry you in 6 months, he's not your guy. Right? If he doesn't know, he's not your guy. And I said, you're basically proving that I don't exist. I didn't know.
I'll tell you what, like this person I met last year, my initial thing was like, maybe not. I was like, I got set up on this date and I was like, no.
Sure. And where'd the no come from?
Like, I was like, awkward, dork. I'm like, you know, like, maybe you don't have the, like, I don't know, maybe we don't have things in common, but like we kept talking, got to know each other. Turns out we have a lot in common. We like a lot of the same things, whatever, like have a lot of similar shared values, things that we like to do together, have fun. We wound up having fun. We discovered that we have fun together and we make each other laugh. Like, so there's some core things that I think bring joy to my life that add value to my life. Right. And
for a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
But I wasn't expecting that. And so like over time it developed, and it wasn't until like 9 months later that I was like, that we were like, maybe we should take each other a little bit more seriously. Like maybe. And like that's 9 months from the point that I met this person. And then like 4 months later, you're like, I don't know that. I mean, I think he's a great person. I'm like, do I know he's the one? I don't know that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm willing to be like, this feels really good.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sauna Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sauna is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sauna's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I have had at Sauna has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sauna membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code THENOGLOW for $25 off of your first facial when booking at saunaskinstudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey with Sauna Skin Studio.
Well, it's I think it's a big part of life in general is being present and keeping an eye on the future. So I always do this little post-it note, and I talk with clients on the phone. I say, hey, this is where you're going. This is the life that you told me that you want to have. And most people are starting here. They're either stuck, right, haven't dated for years. They're spinning, dating online, same guy in a different body. Or they get into a relationship and they think they're going to this destination, which is a feeling, safe, heard, and understood. They think they're going here, and they go way, way, way off course with the wrong guy.
Wow.
And so my job is to keep them directed towards their goal. And people often lose sight of their goal when they get caught up in a guy, right? They think they're getting on the bus to Chicago, but they're actually going to Boston. Because he told her week two, I don't think I ever want to be married again. And she kind of found a way to twist that and sweep it under the rug. And 2 years in, when she's thinking, okay, where is this going? He's like, told you it's not going anywhere. This is what I want. What we have now, this is what I want. And she ignored that, got on the wrong bus 2 years ago, could have avoided a lot of problems. That doesn't negate the value she got out of the relationship, but it absolutely means she put herself in a position of heartbreak just by not being a little bit more
conscious,
future thinking,
yeah,
without future pacing. Oh my God, he's my soulmate. I have to figure this out today.
I'm writing this down. Future thinking, or maybe future like obsessing, right? Versus future pacing.
I think the idea is that simultaneously, if we're both and thinkers, we want to have an eye towards the future to make sure we're headed in the same direction and be enjoy the present. I got another client right now. He's in a great relationship. There's no real problems, but they're in their 60s and they're both really psychoanalyzing the relationship. Like he's got me and she's got a therapist, and they show each other their people's content and they do relationship quizzes, and they're really taking this so seriously that I think they're almost sucking the fun out of the relationship after 4 months because they're so afraid of making a mistake. Wow. So I like your fun-based approach, right? I don't want to take the wind out of your sails at all. The same time you're having the time of your life, look, we have something in common. We have fun together. That's great. Having something in common and having fun together will not be the story 15, 20 years from now. You still have to have, you know, you still have to have that as a baseline, but it's all the little stuff.
Yeah.
How do you handle conflict?
Oh my God.
How do you handle, you know, theoretically living together, housework, money, religion, politics, family, the importance of, you know, introversion and extroversion, all these things that come with a more integrated life. That's always been my problem with long distance-ish,
Right.
Is that you really don't get to test that thing out when you're just kind of the fun weekend relationship. So those are great, but they have a chance of imploding when you actually test it out in real time.
Right. I totally agree with that. And I think it takes time to learn about those things, right? You don't learn about those things like right in the beginning. You have to like take time and investment and take risks. You have to be willing to like be vulnerable and like learn about yourself and learn about the other person. And also stay like, I think, rooted in like what you believe is to be in integrity for you, right? You have to stay rooted in that. Like, I do believe, I have listened to a lot of dating coaches talk about like, you know, whether or not, you know, like compromise. And I'm...
Wait, do you have a roster of dating coaches? Am I just one in a roster?
I'm not just one in a roster.
I'm f***ing with you.
You're the dating coach, Evan.
I tease. It's fun. You're listening to dating coaches and they're telling you.
Like online and like content that I consume like on the internet.
Yeah.
And we like, there's a lot of buzz around compromise. And I think that there's a better way. A compromise to me kind of feels like I'm like losing something. Like, what if I can find a way where there's another word for it. I'm losing it right now, but it's not so much about compromising in which you're feels more like a sacrifice, but like meeting each other in a place where you can mutually give, rather than feeling like you have to take away something in order to receive it or give it.
Right. Love should be additive. It shouldn't take away. And my definition, the difference between settling and compromising is that you compromise your way into happiness and you settle your way into misery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both involve trade-offs. It means you're giving something up. Right. I'm giving up the freedom to sleep with other people. Right. What I'm gaining is so much greater that I don't spend too much time thinking about that calculation.
Right.
Right. So we all compromise. We might not like the word, but we all compromise in everything. Your home is a compromise. Your friends are a compromise. Your family is a compromise. Your kids are a compromise. Right. Everything's a compromise. And we make peace with that compromise. Love, for some reason, we don't think we should have to compromise on anything.
Right.
Right. We think we should get all the good qualities, none of the bad qualities, and that they should ignore our bad qualities and focus only on our good qualities. Right. So love has a unique way of, I don't know if it's deluding us, but if we just sort of reframe it as, if this thing doesn't change for the rest of my life, could I be happy?
Yeah.
Is that a compromise I'm willing to make? My wife was not, again, the person I spent my life looking for, but I was so happy. The relationship was so easy. I felt so accepted. And it's been 17 years that whatever compromises I have to make to be with her, and I could tell you about them, but no one would want to hear it, or the compromises she needs to make to be with me, that's not the story of our relationship. That's just two different people who have slightly different worldviews, and you got to work around them when you're part of the same household. That you talked about that, your shit sandwich. No one escapes without that.
Right.
But that's 5% of the relationship. So if you just ask anybody what percent of your relationship is good, they better give you a 90-95%. Because anybody who's like, I don't know, we fight like 50% of the time, that's a bad relationship that's on autopilot.
It comes back to my perspective that things should be mostly good. Like, yes. It should be mostly good, mostly happy. It's mostly easy. Like, I'm in a point in my life anyway, Evan, is that like you said, I think the three words you mentioned were safe, loved, and understood.
Yeah, safe, heard, and understood. But yes.
Safe, because I want to write that down. Safe, heard, and understood. Like, ease to me is really important these days, right? I'm like, I've had a lot of struggle in my life. Like, I want things to be mostly easy. Like, if I don't want to be constantly at like war or like mostly in war or mostly having to like sacrifice, right?
You probably had to go through that to appreciate that and understand that that's actually a realistic goal. For people who've only chosen difficult partners or incompatible partners where it's always been work, or they witnessed a marriage where their parents always fought, they stayed together for 50 years, but they fought, their normal is difficult.
That's their baseline.
Right. They don't know that there's a possibility. Embarrassing story. I'll share an embarrassing story. When I was in my early 30s, I dated someone and I fell for her so hard. Weeks, I was telling her I loved her, the whole lovelorn thing. She was 6 years older. She broke up with me after about 3 months and I was devastated because I thought she was perfect. And she says, this is the most difficult relationship I've ever had. And I said, this is the easiest relationship I ever had. I didn't know. And there was a first time in my life that I recognized that I was the difficult one.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that for me, the way to happiness would be to date an easygoing person who accepted me.
Uh-huh. That
would make me be more agreeable, affable, less kind of masculine energy controlling. So, like, and so that's the thing, is if you're kind of masculine energy, having someone who's easy might not be the thing that makes your heart pound the fastest, but mm-hmm. it's the thing that actually brings out the best in you. It brings out the softer yeah. side of you. Type A's often do well with type B's. Not that the type B's are doormats or have no personality, but you could probably even look at your friends who are married and say, which one's the easy one? Which one's the difficult one? Mm-hmm. And you could probably figure it out.
Totally. Something that I've been thinking a lot about recently, Evan, is like collaboration, right? When I think about like sacrifice and compromise and collaboration, like how willing are couples to collaborate with each other, right? Instead of sacrificing so much, like we talked about avoiding this like attitude of sacrificial like agreement.
Yeah.
Can we collaborate with each other? Can we co-create a scenario that feels good for everybody involved?
That requires a tremendous amount of self-awareness.
I say self-awareness.
Security, communication skills, and a willingness. Again, it's not to sacrifice. It's to really meet your partner where you're at. Because there's always going to be an issue in your relationship where one person feels stronger than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that one person wins every argument because they feel strongly about everything, now that the other person gets steamrolled and doesn't have their needs met. But I'll think of my relationship just because it's a microcosm of all relationships. My wife and I are both extroverts. So she'll go on our little family calendar and she'll book us for like Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and stuff like that. And I love people. I love to go out, but that's a lot, especially when she didn't even run those plans by me. Hey, here's what we're doing. Here's the people we're seeing. Here's the kid's birthday party. So I looked at this calendar and I was like, I don't want to do all this. But I sat her down and I said, hey, again, this is the communication part. And anybody could do this. There's a formula for this in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye by Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Right? Nonviolent communication. Compliment sandwich. Hey, honey, I love that you take the reins in our family and make stuff happen, and that you're the mayor of Woodland Hills and you know everybody and you're plugged into everything. I think that's awesome. It's what we moved here for. You're the social chair, right? And I love that I don't even have to think about some of this sometimes. But when you book me on 4 consecutive nights, especially for things I might not want to do, I feel like I've got no say in my own life. And maybe I'd agree, maybe I won't, but in my life, I just want to be able to say yes or no to something before you call it a plan and RSVP to it. So in the future, could you run this by me?
Yeah.
And could you let me out of one of these 4 events that might not mean as much? That was a very reasonable take.
Yeah.
Instead of, what the hell are you doing? I feel like you're controlling me. There's 2 ways to handle that same situation. And because I gave her a reasonable pitch and didn't attack her, she didn't feel attacked. She didn't engage in fight or flight, defensive, insulting me, bringing up old stuff. We got to just fix that one problem like that. And couples who both have the capacity to do that, be good communicators, nothing has to really flare up into something big, which again, doesn't mean my wife and I are special, but we definitely have perfected the art of disagreements ending within 5 minutes rather than slamming doors, silent treatments, makeup sex, guessing games, resentment. We clean our stuff up pretty quickly because we can both communicate like that.
Gosh, I just got like, I got the ick from you even just saying that.
The bad part, the slamming doors and the silent treatments. And that stuff is common. You read the Gottman's work, the 7 Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Like, these things are things that people naturally do, and they fall into their patterns, and they're not bad people, but they're often mismatched. Or sometimes you have people who just, they bring out the worst in each other. Mm-hmm. I could talk about what a great communicator I am with my wife because of our dynamic, but put me with someone else and we're going at it, and I'm just as bad as any bad TV movie you've seen.
Yeah, right. So
I feel like that's where compatibility really comes in. It's not, we both like kayaking.
Yeah.
It's we can handle this. And you don't know what this is until you're deeper in the trenches of the relationship. Because the first part is the honeymoon. It should be enjoyed as a honeymoon. But it's still the preview. It's not the full movie. It's not the next 30, 40 years.
I think it's been really insightful to see how people handle conflict, you know, or like also for me in my dating life, like seeing how other people handle conflict versus what brings out, obviously I'm in control of myself, right? I'm responsible for my own actions and choices, but I can definitely now observe with greater clarity of when certain behaviors trigger unhealthy responses in me, right? And so is this an environment in which I can see myself being successful and collaborative in, yeah, or resorting to combative behaviors that might not be in the best interest of my personal health or the health of a potential relationship.
Right. And the hardest part about this, if you are my client, you know, a high achieving, smart, strong, successful woman, is the higher you go up in that food chain, the more you're going to get the ego and the my way or the highway and the control. Not exclusively, there's always exceptions, but the more you want that. And so that's usually where people's dilemma is. What's that point on the graph where I could find a guy I'm attracted to and respect, mm-hmm, right? Who will mostly say yes, dear, right? Because those guys are generally not yes, dear guys.
Yeah, I hear that. Right?
That's really a challenge, because yes, dear is the answer to most relationship discussions on both sides.
That's so true. It's so true. So once people are like have established, well, actually, before we even go there, like how do we get to the commitment conversation, right? Like who do you think that there's somebody who should be spearheading this conversation, like the male or the female, or like after a certain amount of time? You mentioned that there should be a steady progression over time, right?
I think we want to start with the intention.
Uh-huh.
Right. Not date one, will you marry me?
Right.
But revealing sometime in that first month of dating that you're marriage oriented. So you're at least headed in the same direction.
Yeah.
Right. And at some point in that 4 to 6 week mark, made up numbers, you take down your profile, start sleeping together, become a couple, make it official. I don't do situationships. I think they're a recipe for disaster. So we commit first, we have sex second, right? It could happen at the same time, but you're not sleeping with someone where he's still on Bumble the next day and you're wondering if he's going to text you. We build up enough trust that you could both say, hey, let's give this thing a shot, right? And now you've got, again, a good 2 years to worry about this. What I'm hoping is that the guy is driving the commitment conversation from the beginning, right? Because he has as much at stake as you. He's not there to waste your time. There's lots of guys who do. They're thinking of themselves. But I can tell you that in my relationship, I was the one who was driving the commitment. I was the one who was worried about her fertility. I wanted to have two kids and she was 38 years old. So I was absolutely the one who was acutely aware of the time frame. When you're past the childbearing thing, it's not as intense. It actually allows you to slow down a little bit.
Right.
But you do, in general, you don't want to have to pull someone through the funnel. You want them to go willingly through, and mm-hmm, you're the gatekeeper, right? Guys are like, it's been 5 months. You want to move in together? That's really sweet. I'm not ready to do that right now.
Yeah.
So I'm not against women saying, I love you first if that's how you feel. But we really want guys to, in general, lead, because that lets you know how serious he is about it. If you have to be like, Jim, it's been 3 years, and you said, like, you're already not playing a strong hand.
Yeah, I think that a lot of women, they have this like pick me energy, like they want to be chosen, right? So then like women will tend to ask like, oh, do you choose me? Do you choose me? Do you choose me? Show me. Show me how you choose me. Show me how you choose me. Prove how you choose me. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it.
Yeah,
prove
yeah.
It. You know, and so like I think the answers are a lot more obvious than we want to believe them to be, right? Like if he's not saying he loves you, like he'll tell you. Like guys are, I think that guys are a lot more straightforward than we give them credit for. Like correct. He'll tell you when he is. Like,
yes. I say men do what they want. All you have to do is listen and listen and pay attention. A guy who you've been seeing, who's literally never talked about commitment, never talked about kids. You could say to him after 8 months, so do you ever want a family? The fact that he never brought up kids in the first 8 months should have been the first indication.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. You couldn't go out with me for, you know, a few weeks without knowing, oh, this guy really wants to be a dad. Like that's not, I'm not saying you should be the mother of my children, but the, I want to be a basketball coach one day. True. I'm my son's basketball coach. I always wanted that.
Yeah.
And people shouldn't be shy about just letting that out there. And either it lands well and it turns someone on or it turns them off. So again, it's that not dumping your whole future on them, not trying to figure it all out, and still paying attention to the signs they're giving instead of sweeping them under the rug, because it's inconvenient that he's not going to be your person. So we just, we contort ourselves because I want him to be. Maybe I can make him. Maybe I can make him love me. Maybe I can make him commit to me. He said he wasn't looking for anything serious now that he's only separated. He's not getting back together with his wife. So, you know, but is he going to be in any rush to get married if his divorce papers aren't signed? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Red flag, run. Doesn't matter if he's emotionally available to you. He treats you really well. That guy is nowhere ready for a commitment because he's just getting out of one.
Yeah. Wow.
So a lot of this is predictable, but emotions are stronger than logic. You know, we could come here and talk and logic our way through relationships, but unless you have someone whispering logic in your ear, the emotions usually take over, and that's how we make these pretty common mistakes.
Yeah. So then, okay. So if we're talking about like the natural progression of relationships and how men should generally be in the driver's seat and women, we should, even though whether we want to admit it or not, we probably have the answers to our questions just by observing their behavior.
Right.
Like, how do you recommend that people deal with self-doubt in relationships?
I recommend that people deal with self-doubt. That is a large and tricky question. In my Love You course, I have an entire, the first month of the course is on confidence. And it's before we get to anything about online dating relationships. We do the whole first month on confidence, because if you don't have confidence, nothing works. It's the umbrella under which everything resides. So if you lack confidence, it's going to come across in your texting. It's going to come across in how you communicate and your boundaries and how you deal with sex, in how you demand that you're treated. And a lot of people, when their confidence is low, all of that kind of goes away. And they end up repeating their patterns. Right? They choose guys who want a relationship where they steamroll the woman and they get whatever they want. And that's why I tell women, you're the CEO of your love life, right? People who lack confidence are always the intern. Please pick me. Please pick me. And we need to turn you into the person who's like, no, you're auditioning for the job with me. You don't have to say that. You don't have to be a bitch. You don't have to have an attitude. Yeah. Just internally knowing, hey, if you don't treat me right, I'm out of here. You don't have to tell anybody that. It shows up in how you come across. I feel that energy when I talk with you, but it's far more complicated than just saying confidence, authenticity, and hitting people over the head with their buzzwords. You actually have to start to, and this, there's a cycle here. You get practice doing it, dating.
Yeah, for practice, sure.
Experience leads to a modicum of success, what we call small wins.
Mm-hmm.
The more small wins you have, the more you're like, I could do this.
Do this, totally.
It breeds more confidence. So
for sure.
Confidence, experience, success, they all fold into each other. The more you do it, the better you get at it. The better you get at it, the better you feel about it. The better you feel about it, the more men respond to you. And that can't be done in theory. You could do all the therapy in the world, but until you realize, I could go out on a date with a guy, I can make 90% of guys like me, even if I only like 10% of them. I can make 90% of them like me. That's kind of a superpower. You're looking at your superpower. You just discovered you were super.
And that's my superpower. I will say, though, that like I've had to get comfortable being like, I'm willing to walk away from this. Right. Like there was a guy who was, I discovered, was kind of like hooking up with his ex. You know, not in the so distant past. And I was like, okay, that doesn't work for me. Like, perfect. I can understand having a roster of new people that you're trying to date, you're getting to know a bunch of new people. But for you, for a person to say, I know that relationship is not going to work out for me.
Right.
And I am still going to go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that shows a lack of integrity and self-respect.
Right.
Well, a man. I understand that hooking up and sex is sex and people get it where they can. To me, sex is everywhere. No, I'm not saying to me sex is everywhere, but like in general, sex is everywhere. Anybody can have sex with anybody. Like you, like it's not, it's actually not that hard to come by. Right. So if you are
for some people, but yes,
but like love is harder to come by than sex.
Indeed.
Fair enough. Fair. Like transition the statement into love is harder to come by. Real connection is harder to come by than sex is, than physical
right.
experimentation and experiences, whatever. So I remember thinking to myself, okay, this guy says he doesn't like this woman. They don't have anything in common anymore. They don't like each other. He doesn't like her values, her core values, and he's still willing to go and hook up with her. To me, that's a man that's out of integrity, right? Out of his own integrity, right? Okay. He's going back to that. And I'm here to say, you know what? That doesn't suit me very well.
Right.
You know, like I'm here for you dating a roster, getting to know people, because guess what? I'm getting to know people too. But to go back to something that you know and have admitted is not good for you, you got to sort that out because I don't want any part of that mess. Right. And so, being able to, you know what? I'm willing to walk away from that. Or conversely, in another position where I'm like, okay, that guy's temper is way too much for me to take on. I'm not willing to take that on. I don't care his social standing. I don't care. I'm willing to walk away from that. Right. And I think a lot of the times women, we get so obsessed with being chosen, whether we even like the guy or not. It's like, do I even like you? Do right. I even like you? Like,
yes.
Why am I so concerned about like you picking me when I don't even like you?
If you, that's, it happens a lot. If you got the guy that you were obsessed with, would you be happy? And most of the time the answer is no. If you, okay. if it actually worked and you had to live with this guy for the rest of your life, you'd be miserable. Right. And that's one of the great ironies of thinking that a crush or a new relationship bears any equivalent to what happens in the future. There's a study from Northwestern a couple of years ago that shows the things that we're initially attracted to have like a 0% bearing on whether you have a happy marriage.
Wow.
Right. Which, again, does not negate how relationships get started. It's that a fully functional adult marriage bears no resemblance to that early phase courtship where you're telling each other stories and you're sending sweet texts and you're making love every chance you have. And like, there's no comparison. You've been married before. I've been married for 17 years. My wife and I, people used to stop us on the street, be like, you guys are such a great couple. We're the same people. People don't stop us on the street anymore.
Yeah, that's funny. So then in your professional experience, what would you say are some of the pillars that do make a marriage successful or make relationships last?
Well, that's the hard part is that they're not sexy. And B, no one in the history of mankind has gone online looking for them. So if we try to reverse engineer happy marriages, and there's lots of ways to do it. And we could talk about studies, even studies done, you know, like University of Virginia family studies, you know, having a good sex life is important to a marriage. That's a real thing. But helping out with housework and child rearing, being sensitive to each other's emotional cues, not seeking novelty, not always looking for the next best thing, being not a lack of anxiety, basically having a baseline of confidence, because if one or both people is insecure, that tends to unravel things and cause conflict. Being with a giver rather than a taker. Two people, you said it earlier, where two people are just willing to, no one's keeping score, but you're both winning because you're both giving.
Yeah.
No one's ever gone on Bumble and looked for those qualities. You can't. No. You can't figure it out really on a first date. You have some sort of proxy, but everybody knows a date is a performance. Mm-hmm. And every guy who's worth his salt has had enough of those performances to know, you know, you look cute, you pick up the check, you walk her, like everybody knows the game. So a lot of guys have gotten really good at playing the game, and it doesn't mean they're good guys. It means they're good at the audition phase.
Oh,
right.
That's really good.
And we conflate the two. A man's ability to dazzle you on a date says nothing about his ability to be a good husband. Zero. But we think it does. And that's just a guy who's well-practiced. I went on 300 dates before I got married. It's how I became a dating coach. I only got good at dating because I had 300 women tell me all the things I did wrong.
Wow.
you got to get a lot of bad feedback to get better at something. And most people are not gluttons for punishment like that. So you'll find a lot of decent guys indeed aren't really good at dating.
Well, Evan, I feel like we've covered so much today. I love every chance that I get to speak with you. I hope that we can have like a part two to this because I feel like we are still not, we're not finished. We need more. We need more.
I absolutely felt that. But the last time and about this time, I have like notes, things that I wanted to talk to you about. I'll contact you offline. We'll talk about next steps because I do have some ideas. I do have questions for you. In the meantime, just want to remind your listeners that there's a gift. If you go to evanmarkatz.com/Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, we're giving you a gift of the 7 massive mistakes you're making in dating. And if you find these conversations compelling and you want to find me, go to evanmarkatz.com/now. And you can book an appointment. We could talk about what's going on in your love life and how we could fix it. I'm very, very grateful that you had me back on your show. I'm looking forward to coming back again.
Can't wait to have you back.
You're the best.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code, THENOGLOW, for $25 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love. Thank you so much for listening to The Know. If you loved this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend. Words are so powerful, and someone may need to hear what we covered today. And if you really loved this episode, please take a moment to rate the show and leave a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect on The Know. You can connect with me personally via Instagram at Nikki Sapp Spo and The Know with Nikki Spo. My hope for you today is that you are fearless in looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sell. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sell is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.